I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Who are the migrants walking north through Mexico, many of them headed for the U.S. border? What are their hopes when they get there? We start things off today with those two questions. Reporter Emily Green is in southern Mexico for us, following the thousands of people, mostly from Central America, walking north. Along the way, she's been asking them what their goal is, like this man in his early 30s. He told Emily that he's applying for asylum in Mexico, but...
Pero la idea es de llegar a Estados Unidos, porque la mejor vida está en Estados Unidos.
He said there the idea is still to make it to the United States, because that's where the best life is, here in the U.S. We caught up with Emily Green on the road in southern Mexico.
I am on the side of the highway between two towns called Suitla y Mustapatec. The migrants are walking towards the further north town, and it's a little bit more spread out than in the days past when it was kind of a big crowd. Now you see them spread out over many, many miles.
Yeah, and what is the mood with the people in the caravan you've been meeting after several hundred miles on the road?
I think it's still upbeat. It might help that today is less hot than it was on Sunday when it just was overwhelmingly hot. So there's some shade today. I think people have a little bit more animal, have a little bit more energy. I think they're still very motivated to get to the United States, but of course they're tired.
Yeah, and dehydrated as well. I know you've spoken with many of these people about their plans. Are most of them expecting to seek asylum in Mexico or try and make the trek all the way to the U.S.?
Right. Just on your last point of being dehydrated, I would say there might be even more dehydration today because in the days past, there were Mexicans lining the roads, giving out food, giving out snacks, giving out water. I don't see any of that today. And many of the migrants have asked me for water, which is troubling. And in terms of asylum, yes, a lot of them do plan to ask for asylum. But, you know, they don't really know how the process works. I say, do you know what you're going to say to the asylum officer? And they say no, that there's, you know, there's no work, there's no jobs, that it's dangerous. And of course, it's very hard to get asylum in the U.S. And just saying that you don't have a job or that there's extreme poverty is probably not enough to qualify somebody for asylum in the U.S. The federal police are stopping me, and they want me to continue forward. So let me give me just a few minutes here, and we can keep going.
Okay, we'll put pause on the interview, and we'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we're just going to go a little bit further forward and pull off on a side street because the federal police have just stopped us and told us we have to get a move on. And I think that's something that's been interesting. There's been a heavy police presence out here today. They're not impeding the migrants, but I feel like the police presence is somewhat heavier than it's been in the previous days.
What do you attribute that to?
I mean, I think that Mexico is walking a really fine line here. They have Trump breathing down their neck, saying, you must stop this caravan or we're going to pull all aid. And the new updated NAFTA agreement is potentially in jeopardy if they don't. But at the same time, what's in it for them to stop 5,000 to 7,000 migrants making their way through the country to reach the United States? I mean, it's kind of a lose-lose for Mexico. They're in an impossible situation. And I think that's somewhat reflected in the police presence, which is, hey, we're here, you know, we're monitoring the situation, but we're not actually stopping the migrants. And Mexico is in a tough position right now, politically speaking.
So, Emily, for those migrants who actually make it to the U.S. and apply for asylum, what's in store for them here now?
I posed that question to Mustafa Chisti. He's a lawyer with the Migration Policy Institute in New York, and here's what he had to tell me.
The most important thing people will have to face is possibility of long detention if they actually make it to the U.S.
And that long detention includes parents who come with their children. And Mustafa told me that it's totally within the realm of possibility that they could be incarcerated for more than a year. One of the big reasons for that is that there are around 700,000 pending asylum claims in the U.S., and that those claims haven't been ruled on. Generally, the backlog these days is around 2 years, 2 to 7 years. It's a really long backlog.
I know you've heard this question before, but it's getting asked a lot right now, especially online. why now? Given that this timing coincides with the final weeks up to the midterm election, could this caravan be anything but coincidental?
I can say with near certainty it has very or nothing to do with the U.S. midterm elections. That to the degree that there were organizers, I don't think they were thinking about the elections in the United States. Now, it's definitely possible that there were Honduran politics at play and some attempt to embarrass the government that's currently in power. But I don't think that there was anything to do with U.S. politics. My sense of the matter is that it started with a group of migrants who wanted to come to the United States. Then political leaders in Honduras got involved, and they publicized it on Facebook. That got picked up by the news. And then it just snowballed by there. So to the degree that there was any political motivation behind it, this caravan has exploded beyond anyone's wildest dreams. I don't think anyone could have imagined that right now we would be seeing 7,000 people walking through Mexico all the way to the United States.
Reporter Emily Green with the migrant caravan south of Mexico City. Thanks very much, Emily.
Thank you, Marco.